Now I invite you to pray with me. Lord God, take my lips and speak through them this morning. Take our hearts and speak to them. Take our wills and set them on fire with such love for yourself that we cannot be, after hearing your word, the same people we were before. Holy Spirit, have your way with us this morning, that we might hear your word and respond. And Jesus, we ask these things in your powerful name. Amen. Today, as we take a look at our gospel reading, we're going to be taking a look at the question, why? Why? As we do, as we look at this question, we're going to be confronted with three things. What is the big picture? What is repentance? And the answer to why? Now that question, why, is a question that is at times asked when we're curious. We hear this frequently from children. Why is the sky blue? Why can I not have another cookie? Why? Why is also a question we ask when we want answers, especially when we're upset, when we're angry. Why did you do that? We say to others. Why didn't you ask me first? What made you think that was a good idea? Why? Then to ourselves, why did I do that? Why did this have to happen? Why is the question being asked by the disciples at the beginning of Luke chapter 13? So if you want to follow along, it's on page 872 in your pew Bibles. Luke 13, beginning with verse 1. Why, Jesus? Why did these things happen? In the previous chapters, in Luke 11 and 12, Jesus has been teaching his disciples and teaching the crowds that are following him. He's been teaching on prayer, teaching on God's kingdom, teaching on fear, teaching on anxiety, do not be anxious, teaching his audience to pay attention to what's happening, be ready for the kingdom of God. He's been teaching them. At the end of Luke 12, Jesus chastises the crowds. In Luke 12, 56, he's saying to them, you all know how to interpret the weather around you, but then he calls them hypocrites. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret this present time? Kind of gets personal there. You hypocrites. They're just asking him questions. They're just along for the ride, and he kind of calls them out. He chastises those following him. You're missing the point. You're missing the big picture. So what is the big picture? Well, we have the whole book. So we're able to kind of get the fact that the big picture has to do with Jesus. He's right there in front of them, and they don't recognize him. Jesus, God the Son, Messiah, and Savior, the one they've been waiting for, has arrived, and they don't recognize it, and they're missing it. They're looking for something else. Scholars suggest that the situation at the beginning of Luke 13 is essentially a follow-up to that situation where he chastises them. You can understand the weather. Why can't you understand what's going on right in front of you? He says you can't interpret the times. Well, now the disciples are confused by situations in front of them. Those following him say, but what about these two situations? We don't understand them. Tell us, Jesus, why? Why did they happen? Luke 13, 1, they say, what about the Galileans whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices? This was a group of worshipers in Galilee while at the altar they were slaughtered by Pilate in the midst of worship. So this crowd asks Jesus, why did that happen to them? Goes on to say, what about those 18 people on whom the tower in Siloam fell, killing them? What about them? Why? Jesus has challenged his listeners to pay attention, to be ready for God's kingdom. He's challenged them on their ability to interpret what's going on right in front of them, and now they're asking him for questions. They're asking him for answers. What about here? We don't understand. We don't get the reasons here. And in the midst of this situation, Ecclesiastes 1:9 comes to mind. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there was nothing new under the sun. What has been is what will be. Just as the disciples sought answers 2,000 years ago, why? So you and I continue to ask why. There's nothing new under the sun. Those following Jesus think, surely he can help us understand. He's a kind teacher. He's drawn us along. We're sure there's something happening here. You know, in our own culture, 2,000 years removed from that, many claim Jesus isn't a man of judgment, but a man of love, a man of kindness. Unfortunately, Jesus' answer here isn't what you'd expect from a gentle teacher or a wise sage or what our culture would call a man of love. You ask, why did that happen? What caused it? Did they deserve it? You ask if those who suffered are different. You ask if they were better or worse than others around them. And shockingly, Jesus replies, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That was a little unexpected. Can you hear the crowds muttering? What was that answer all about? We just wanted to know why it happened. This isn't about us. We were asking about them. You turn it around to us. You know, in our modern culture, that would be the reason for a Snickers commercial. Relax, Jesus. Have a Snickers. Clearly, something's wrong with you and you're overreacting. Take a breath, Jesus. Jesus speaks clearly and pretty harshly. And to make sure that they hear it, he says it twice. Verse 3, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. They bring up the other people. Jesus says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That is Jesus' answer to the curious audience. You ask why, and Jesus answers not with a reason, but a command. Repent or likewise perish. Jesus here makes a very, I would call it a harsh transition from the small picture to the big picture. And I can hear the echo from Jesus' previous exclamation, you hypocrites, you can understand the weather. Why can't you see what's going on? You're missing the point. Here he similarly exclaims, you want to know why, who is at fault, why bad things happen? You're missing the point. Remember the big picture. Repent or you will likewise perish. Now, repent was a strong word in Jesus' first century audience in their ears. We hear repent, we tend to think, apologize and say, I'm sorry. Whoa, got to calm things down so we can get back to normal and move on. Make things right. Try not to do that again. I'm sorry. Can we move on now? Repent in the ears of the first century Jewish audience would have brought echoes of the prophets. Repent and return to the Lord. This wasn't just an I'm sorry. Turn away from your folly, from your sin, from your idols, from your distractions. God called his people over and over and over again. Repent and return to the Lord. Hearing repent, they would hear, turn away from what you're doing, return to the Lord forever. It's a complete change of attitude and thought. This is a radical change. Not just, I'm sorry, I'll try, but repent and I will seek to never go there again. Repent, he jars them, or you will likewise perish. The big picture Jesus proclaims is eternity. They're focused on now, and he jars them. Here's the big picture, guys and girls and all who are listening. Eternity is before you. Eternity is what matters. The life before you is broken. Things happen. Don't bother with why, but remember where true life is. Jesus boldly challenges those around him with this idea. Things happen. Things will all happen. All will perish. All's going to be destroyed. So to you, I remind you, repent, return to the Lord, or your destruction will also be complete and be forever. This is a call out to a culture that has been missing it, the first century Jewish culture. The next parable about the fig tree talks about there's no fruit on this tree. Farmer's furious. The farmer says, well, it's been 3 years. Just give me one more year. Then you can cut it down. No real promise that there will be fruit, but he's going to try. This is a warning to those listening to Jesus. Repent, pay attention, or you will likewise perish. This before us today does not sound like good news. Sounds like a whack upside the head. But this is good news. This is the good news in Jesus Christ. Because while there is nothing new under the sun, things will always happen. We will always wonder why. Funny, as I was writing this, though, it occurred to me, I never wonder why when things go my way. When I just miss something, I never wonder why when it's going my way. But when I don't just miss and I plow into the back of somebody, I wonder, why did that have to happen? It's only about the things that negatively impact us because we think we deserve all of the right things. There will always be wondering why. The good news is in the name of Jesus, because he's not just a teacher, a sage, a man of love. He is God. He is God the Son, one with the Father. He is Messiah and Savior, and in his name is new life. Life beyond the brokenness that will always be at our feet. He gives new life to all who believe in his name, who turn to him, and who depend on him. Jesus has been making this clear as he's been on his journey in ministry, on his journey to Jerusalem. He did not mince words with his audience, and he does not with you today. Repent, or you will likewise perish. As you look around your life, as you seek to understand why some things are good, why things are bad, why things are happy, why there's depression, why others are better or worse than you, as you daily wonder why, Jesus cries out to you, my child, repent and return to me. Repent, turn away from the life the world offers you that you're struggling with. Repent and radically turn away from the world's passions and priorities and turn afresh to me, because I offer you peace amidst the storms of life, the brokenness that is there. Jesus says, I offer you purpose, and I invite you to live your new life and proclaim my love to the world, to challenge others to repent and receive new life or perish. Jesus offers new hope to you. He offers new community. He offers new life if you will repent and turn to him. This is the season of Lent. And Lent is a season that encourages those following Jesus, encourages the church to repent, to engage with repentance. to engage with a return to the Lord. And it encourages all to remember the big picture. This life is but a breath. Everything that we see is perishable. Nothing will last except for souls, the souls of all mankind and the Word of God. Remember the big picture, therefore, this Lent. Focus and dependence on this world, on worldly priorities, leads to perishing, and not like a head of lettuce. It leads to destruction, death, emptiness. Whereas there's new life in the name of Jesus. Don't you see it? Jesus cries out to you and to me. Repentance leads to life change. He doesn't leave us as we are. Repentance leads to more repentance, leads to cleansing, leads to new life, dependence on Him, hope amidst suffering. Turning to Him and depending on Him, seeking Him first, following His voice, seeking after His direction leads to hope, to eternal life, completely the opposite of perishing. We heard in our reading from Exodus, Moses wasn't out looking for God. God sought Moses. God spoke to Moses and invited him to join him. Did you catch where it said, and Moses looked and turned towards it? And it said, and God waited to see if Moses would look and turn towards him. That same God calls to each of you. He seeks after you. He invites you to join Him. He loves you first, and as He pursued Moses, as He pursued His people, He pursues each of you. God is real. His love and His new life are real, and it's right here in front of you. It's right here in His Word, living and active. So this Lent, repent in a different way. Don't just give up on stuff to try to be better or to try to be cleaner or new habits ultimately that will end after Easter. Whew, now I can get back to regular life. Seek after the one that pursues you. Repent as the first century audience heard it. Listen to His voice, and as He puts His finger, His thumb on something, repent, turn away from it, and seek never to return. It's not a temporary so that you can feel better. This is repent, be changed, come unto me, and I give you new life. And then as you do with laundry, repeat the cycle. Repeat the cycle and repeat the cycle because He doesn't leave us as we are. This side of the good news of Jesus Christ, the hope that we have is truly seen in our flesh and our utter inability to get things perfect. Repentance suggests a complete change, never to do it again. But you know what? I do, and you do, and we don't get it right. We fail. Apart from Jesus, that's a roadway of shame, ultimately leading to death. Because you and I know that we can never be perfect in our own self. Side one of the good news, repentance and returning to the Lord brings new life. Side two is that as we live that new life, seeking to never do it again and failing in our sinfulness, it's the remembrance that God so loved the world that He sent His only Son to die for you and for me, to shed His blood for the sin of the whole world, so that in repentance one receives new life, and then when we fail, He receives us back by repentance. Nothing can separate you from God's love when we return to Him and repent. When one fails again and again, He receives us back by repentance. Through repentance, whether it be again or again and again, or repentance brings new life, renewed unity with Jesus. He never stops pursuing you. Why do things happen? Because the world is broken. The world will always be broken. This is life. Until Jesus returns at the end of the age. The brokenness, though, reminds you of the one who remains perfect and unbroken. Why? Because it reminds us that there is only one who is perfect and unbroken, Jesus Christ, who gives you new life. It reminds you of the only unperishable life that is in His name. Why are you faced with brokenness? To remind you of the bigger picture. Truly, the only answer to why is God. Not exactly intuitive. Those following Jesus wanted to know, why did these things happen? And He said, repent or you will likewise perish. Why? The answer is God. God created the world, and He created you. Though sin has entered the world, He pursues you and each and every one of you with His love. And He offers new life through repentance, no matter what. He loves you, and He sent His Son to die for you. He loves you, and He uses all things for the good of those who love Him, who seek after His name. Why are we faced with brokenness? To remind us of Jesus' words, repent or you will likewise perish. Jesus alone says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And in Jesus, there is new life, hope, and meaning that shatters the brokenness. As Jesus said to those following Him, I close with this morning, repent, or you will likewise perish. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.